At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus. On the other side of the screen is Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, another hot day at camp. Another day where we had new and fun offensive line combinations. So how did you find camp today?
Camp's always camp. I mean, it's always a good time to go there. I was alone this time going solo, so I didn't really have to worry too much. So I kind of was lazy heading out. I wasn't that quick and got there, got on a bus right away. We took off and, rolled up and, when I'm walking to my seat, right, I don't linger. I'm not looking at the stuff that's going on. I'll stop for my freebies. I'll get my other, my water bottle or whatever it is they have there. I'll stop for those, but I'm beelining to my seat, man. And it's like, I seem to always find a good spot. I had a nice spot up in the top, corner. No one sat in front of me today, so I had plenty of knee room. So it was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, so I saw again that our friend Greg Braggs was on the first bus. He maybe camps out overnight. I don't know how he's able to always get on in the first bus, but I texted you. I said, Braggs is already there. Are you with him? And you're like, I'm just leaving now. Like, no, yeah. No, I'm not. You're not trying to beat the competition to the park, but it sounds like it didn't hurt you at all. You still got a good
seat. I think I was like the sixth bus in line. Cause I got on and there was already a line of bus lined up on the side. And like I said, we pull up. And like I said, when I got off, man, it's just boom, go right to my seat. And there was like plenty of seating. It was packed again. It's Sunday, so I figured it would be packed. But yeah, it was every bleacher was packed. It was wall-to-wall around the thing. We were like five, six people deep. But yeah, it was another good turnout. Good energy from the crowd.
You said you had a water bottle. Yeah, I don't remember.
They gave us water bottles. If you're on the video here, you can see the water bottle they gave us. I got one today, too. This is from the other day. I got one from today, too. Training camp water bottle.
I don't remember us getting any real freebies in the past besides maybe a magnet with the schedule. So
I got my old magnets. Let's see what I get to. I got a notepad on the way out. A little from one of the banks.
Yeah. From the bank. Okay.
And else right. I got a. I don't have it with me, but it's one of those you put your phone on to kind of put it on the desk, like a phone stand.
Like a stand. Okay.
Like a stand, like a really small one that had like a bear logo. So that was kind of neat.
Okay. All right.
And then I got a towel last time. So like a little towel. I don't know what to do with towel because you figure you wash those once and everything kind of goes away. So I don't know. I'm sure it'll just end up in a drawer someday and I'll never look at it again. But it was free, so I took it.
I honestly, some of those towels could be useful if they were actually nice towels because they could be little workout towels, but they usually use the worst possible fabric. So all right. Enough about freebies. Let's get into the practice. I saw a little bit of stuff, and I actually want to start with the offensive line today. And it looked like we had we had some shuffling in the offensive line. So what did you see in terms of who was out there, who was missing, anything that you think is like a major development? And I'll ask you this, we're sitting here on August 4th. Are you starting to worry at all about any of this yet?
Let's get to that part. Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I mean, so Nate Davis was back today, fully dressed out there. And I don't think Flew's talked after the practice, but so They did like the early walkthrough. They kind of went through some plays. They did the stretching. They did some one-on-one individual stuff. And then Nate Davis went to the sideline. He jogged off. I mean, it wasn't like he was helped off with a trainer, which another player did, was walked off with a trainer. I'll get on him in a second. But so Nate Davis left. I think this could have been a ramp-up day for Davis.
Yeah.
Because there was no additional talk about another injury from him. So he was out with a strain. He came back today, went through like a first hour or so out of practice. Then he was over on the mountain climber machine and the bike. So he was still doing stuff on the side. I think that's why he was just kind of ramping up. Tevin Jenkins, though, went through the first part of practice. They went over to stretch. After stretching, then he left with a trainer and he never returned. So who knows what happened to Tevin Jenkins. Darnell Wright was also missing today, right tackle. So it was a mixed up offensive line there once they started going to the team period. And you could tell because the O-line was a little rough there. So it's almost like you need one more guy. It's like they need one more trustworthy veteran to kind of just in case guy. Because, I mean, Jerome Carvin was getting reps with the ones today. He's the guy who started a center in the Hall of Fame game. I didn't think he'd make the team. I mean, like when I saw him sign him, I saw the depth chart played out. But now look at this guy. He's getting reps with the ones. Ja'Tyree Carter was getting some reps with the ones. Bill Murray was getting reps with the ones. And then
I'm pulling for Bill Murray. I've got, you know, just based on the name, I think it's fun that, you know, lifelong Bears fan, Bill Murray, the comedian, shares a name with this young guy who's trying to make the roster.
Do you know Bill Murray's story at all?
No, I don't.
He played defensive tackle in college. The Patriots signed him. So he was kind of bouncing around the Patriots organization on the practice ground for a little bit. And then they decided, you know, you're a guard. So they moved him to offensive at some point. I think it was 2 years ago. The Bears signed him last year. He was around their practice squad. So he's new to the position. Maybe it's starting to click for him because we have heard Coach Flus talk about him a little bit in one of his pressers last week. He looked okay in the game. Who knows? I mean, maybe he's a guy that kind of can surprise here. As far as I know, though, he's a guard only. I'm not sure he can play any center for you. So, you know, with the center issues the Bears have, you might want to have your reserves kind of can float between those three in the interior.
Yeah, that's the old, I think it was Schlereth last year or 2 years ago, or kind of put out that like he kind of took offense to offensive linemen not being skill players. And he talked about how, like, you know, you hear about, you know, this positional player,
yeah,
you know, not having enough, you know, athletic ability and then getting moved down to like linebacker and then a linebacker getting down, moved down to a defensive lineman. And then you'll hear about defensive linemen getting moved over to the offensive line. So if they're the least athletic guys on the field, they clearly have to be the most skilled because they have to play all these athletic guys on the other side. I thought that was pretty funny, but it is, I mean, that's a big ask for somebody, but if you've got that athletic ability and maybe you just, you know, there are different athletic skill sets that are required for these different positions. And maybe you came up and were good enough to play college and, you know, make it to the NFL on with your athletic skill set on at defense, but you get into the league and it's like, you know, actually you really fit this mold a lot better. And if you're going to stick, let's flip you over and see if it works. But, you know, you have to build up all that muscle memory. You've got to, you know, figure out stance and, you know, how, you know, you haven't played that probably since high school. And, you know, that just takes some time. So there are success stories out there. Obviously the Bears have one, you know, with Big Cat Williams, being the one everybody knows. So it does happen.
Wasn't Mark Bortz another convert back in the day? Wasn't he a D tackle at Iowa before the Bears got a hold of him?
That I do not know the answer to that. I probably should.
Iowa guy.
It was a long time ago. I mean, I'm pretty sure Bortz was, you know, in college before I was born. But probably. You know, you're right. That's not an excuse. I should know the answer to these things. Bortz does sound like a defensive tackle. Like they just say, oh, your name's Bortz. You play defensive tackle. We're not even going to look at you. We just assume that you're a D tackle. Okay. So was Coleman Shelton or Ryan Bates? Like what was the situation?
Bates started off at center with Nate Davis in there. So of course Bates back at center. Eventually, like I said, you know, Davis went out. So Bates was still getting reps at center today. Shelton was getting reps at center today. There were some few bad snaps Now the Bears were like way on the far end of the end zone. I'm sitting in the end zone seats. So they were doing a lot of their stuff on the far across. So 150 some odd yards away. So I couldn't tell exactly who the center was every time, but there were a handful of poor snaps. You can't have that. You know, we as Bears fans, we've seen enough of that, right? You know, and, you know, I think Shelton is a guy that has played center pretty much his whole career. Bates is a guy that's played some center in his career. So we've talked about this, man. Figure out your center, whoever is the best guy there, and just leave him alone, please. Let him kind of get that rapport with Caleb Williams and this offensive line and understanding the checks and everything. And, you know, if Bates is going to be your swing guy, let him be your swing guy. Or if Nate Davis is going to be the guy that comes off the bench, plug Bates in at right guard.
I know there's been some speculation among some that like, oh, Nate Davis is worn out his welcome and the Bears are just going to cut this guy. And like,
never.
Let me tell you a little story about his salary. Does not make any sense for the Bears to cut him. It actually costs them more money to cut him. They don't save anything because of the nature of how he was guaranteed money. It was basically like a 2+ year guarantee. So if you do cut him, you have to actually pay a little bit more from next year to be able to do that. There's no cap savings there. And so he's not going anywhere, but that doesn't mean that he's going to see the field. Like that does, you know, there is an opportunity for him to maybe fall back and into being a swing guy and a backup, but he's going to be on the roster. Like it's just the money talks. So don't get ahead of yourself there. Well, let's move on to, you know, bigger offensive perspective. And let's talk about Caleb Williams. Saw that there were some flashes today, but you know, the defense probably won the day. So talk about kind of the highlights and if there's any low lights for Caleb today.
Yeah, the defense definitely won today, the day today, both in the individual one-on-ones, 7-on-7, and in the 11-on-11 team period, and especially in the two-minute drill. The defense just, you know, they really had their way with the offense there. But yeah, Caleb, like I said, he's a rookie, and you know, he flashed a bit here and there. He had a nice pass I tweeted about to DJ Moore down the sideline in a drill, and you know, that's the one that the Bears social media team grabbed today and they put on their site. So if you have a chance to go to the Chicago Bears socials, that's the play. Real nice play down to DJ, kind of laid out a little bit, made a catch there. There are a few other nice plays there. There was a 7-on-7 drill. Probably would have been a sack, but like we said before, you can't assume a sack, right? So he kind of went there, 1, 2, 3 seconds co. He kind of scrambled a little bit to the side, and then he found DeAndre Swift, who came across from the other side, across the middle, open for a touchdown. So there are some plays here and there where you're like, yeah. And like we talked about before with Caleb, the way he throws, you know, he's able to kind of change speeds. You know, there are certain things where you watch him, even in these simple, where they just run it on the sideline. You know, he's just doing it. All his throws are on the money. And the majority of his throws are to the outside. It's one of those plays where, if you're going to throw that type of route, you want to make sure you're getting it over the DB in a place only your guy can catch. And several of his passes were like that, where the receiver is reaching up towards the sideline to make the catch. So you just kind of see that with him. His accuracy, the arm strength is there. But today was not the offense's best day.
Well, it sounds like a lot of that starts up front, right? And so if you're not being
the whole ride was all over the place. So yeah, that had some false starts. Some pressure. Like I said, there was a few plays where they just kind of blew it dead. It's a sack. Like they didn't even let him play it out. It's just like, you know,
I sense some
frustration from the offense.
It's so interesting that, you know, it's such a universal thing, but false start. Like why? Like, I just wonder about, I mean, offensive linemen in practice, that you should have the snap count down. Like that's the, you know, Coach Joyce is like, you know, the snap count, like you get that if the defense doesn't. So you should not be the second one off the line. Like you should be firing off and you definitely shouldn't be having a false start. You know what the count is. I don't know if like, did you repeat the count in your head when you broke the huddle?
When I played, I was very nervous all the time. Like I was always in my head thinking, oh my God, it's on two. Oh my God, I have to do this. Like I would always like, my whole mind was like racing as I got to the line. And I was always like, look the guy next to me and say, it's this, right? It's like, I was always want to be.
You always check the count.
Oh my God. I was always like, I cannot screw this up. You know what I mean? But that's just how I kind of always was. Just kind of had that nervousness before every snap.
Yeah, I actually played with a guy that was just like that. Like he played next to me, and he every time we'd run up to the line, he'd say, "Hey, Burks, check count." They can hear you. Yeah. You're going to have to remember this. But yeah, that's interesting. I always just repeat it a few times in my head, and I never had a problem with that. But it always makes me laugh when you see these offensive linemen. It's like, how yeah. You're professionals. Like it's amazing how it doesn't go away. It's still something that offensive linemen will struggle with in practice and games, you know, big situations or just a lapse in concentration. Like it's just something that's kind of universal and kind of interesting. All right. I heard that today Torrey Taylor had a really great day. That's what I heard. I heard on the press conference, they said he had 20 punts and none of them were touchbacks. Like they were all downed, all, you know, pinning them down. But the big reason I want to talk about Torrey Taylor again today, we won't talk about him every day, but yes, the big reason is that I saw a quote on Twitter, and sorry, I can't remember exactly who put it out there, that Torrey Taylor does not like the crocodile punter nickname.
Good.
That was not my creation.
Wasn't ours.
People seemed to love it, and I was like, sure, let's go with it, whatever. So it wasn't my thing, but you know, I'm willing to popularize what everybody likes as the best name. And he basically said, yeah, real creative guys. And so that's out. Like we're done with crocodile punter. We're not going to do that anymore. No more tweets about crocodile punter. So now we're going to put forward either Bill's suggestion of the pinball wizard or Taylor's suggestion of kingpin.
Yeah.
So we're going to roll with one of those. So, you know, let us know in the comments or let us know on Twitter or on the website, like, what do you like for this punter nickname? Cause we're going to roll with it. And at some point I'm sure we'll try to come up with a t-shirt here, but, I've heard he's continues to impress in all of the practices, and we now know what he doesn't want as a nickname.
So I did not see much of him today, to be honest with you. I think the quote from Coach Hightower, we talked about yesterday's practice where he was just
yesterday. Okay.
Yeah. So today, honestly, they're doing some field goal work on the other side. The one thing I noticed, I tweeted out, I saw him holding. He was down there taking, he was taking a bunch of simulated snaps from the other punter. He was just holding like 20, 30 in a row. Just that's all he was doing. And then we went into other fields and, you know, they were doing some field goal stuff. And I did not see him punt once. You know, I was ready, man. I was trying to every now and then I glance over to the other field because I wanted to get him on time because I, you know, I just want to see what some hang time stuff was. But yeah, he is, we're going to workshop that nickname. I do like that kingpin or pinball wizard because he pins that ball inside the five, right? That's the gist of it. Yeah. So yeah, we got to workshop something because Bears fans love their special teamers. And did you see? I saw a Patrick Scales jersey today when I was on the bus.
I retweeted that. That was very exciting.
Love our special
wild.
Yeah,
in the wild. And there is a Patrick Scales T-shirt that we designed last year as well. Just you know, because of course we had to get a long snapper T-shirt out there. You know, really, I'm sure that sold you know maybe a dozen T-shirts, but I bet you if we did a throwback and we did a Patrick Manley t-shirt,
yeah,
that might do some numbers
with the mullet. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like maybe we need to go that direction. Maybe we'll see if we can get some throwback. Maybe both of them.
We'll talk to our guys and we'll
long snapper legacy.
We'll take a meeting.
Yeah. It might need a whole Zoom call for that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the defense. You said the defense dominates. So let's talk about this because here's part of what I was getting a little nervous about some of the offseason talk because defensive rankings aren't sticky from year to year. Like you can see defenses, this is a really good defense. And the next year they're bad or they're average. Like it's hard to be consistently good on defense. I thought that maybe the Bears could be good this year and like continue the trend from last year because they weren't necessarily a good defense all year. Like that's definitely not the case. But they were trending in the right direction. But part of what should give you some confidence in this defense is that they didn't really lose any major contributors and some of the younger guys that are, going to be in starting roles are entering that prime or they're entering that second year where you usually see a jump, right? So there's not a lot of players that you would expect to fall off in terms of their play. Most of them have the arrow pointing up. And so And they're in year three of a scheme, and like there's a lot of good things going for them. But have you seen enough in a couple practices and what you've seen to feel pretty confident that this defense might actually live up to some of the expectations that are out there?
Yeah, I think the key is, like you said, is they're in the third year in a scheme. And we kind of saw this before with old schemes throughout the history of the franchise. We're old enough now to remember the Fangio got a little better as time went on. Lovey's obviously got better as time went on. So year three of the scheme, you said they're all relatively young. The oldest guy is Kevin Bayard, who is 31, and he's a veteran. I mean, he's a former Pro Bowler. So, you know, you expect a level of play from him that you hope to get here. But here's the thing about today. They're missing five starters today. And that defense, and they still were doing pretty good. They're missing the nickel. Gordon was out. Tyree Stevenson was out. Brisker was out today. And they're missing Andrew Billings and Montez Sweat. And they're still generating pressure. I know part of that is the Bears' O-line was, like we talked about, rough. But, you know, the coverage was sticky in the back end, too. So the defense has some depth. You know, the D-line still is a little – some things have to happen there just to kind of be on the safe side. But I'm starting to think they're not going to go after an edge. I think they may be content with who they have in-house. I think Austin Booker, they think, is a dude. And I think that they think he'll provide some pass rush juice for them. I don't think they're going to bring in Ngakoue. That was the big talk. I think they're content.
I think they're waiting for somebody to get cut down.
Yeah.
That's been my guess, is that they're waiting to see if something happens where someone gets squeezed off a roster, either cut or like, hey, this, we're going to cut this guy, you know, can you flip us something for him, you know, and avoid the free choice of a guy signing elsewhere. You know, throw him a late pick or a pick swap or something where you can get a guy and save yourself from having to compete on the open market. I can see that happening. That's what I've thought, because I'm just not sure that they're there in terms of money with Ngakoue. And I'm just think that they don't see the value of him eating up a lot of snaps with some of their younger players for someone who's, you know, clearly maybe didn't provide the level of effort, level of production, I should say, that they were expecting last year. All right. Well, I'm excited for the defense, and I know we're still a month away from actual, you know, real game action, but I'm starting to have those little voices in the back of my head that say like, hey, don't trap yourself into thinking that they're just going to continue that line going up of improvement and just hit the ground running. Because that rarely happens exactly like you think it is, but everything is just kind of lining up for this defense to be at least a good unit. I'm not going to proclaim that this is going to be a top, you know, five defense or anything like that, but I think that they're going to be a good unit and can provide a level of stability for this whole team. So let's just get into the Three Bears.
You want to do a quick break for the podcast?
No, let's do the break after
this. Okay.
So hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and just right. So from your expectations, anybody that like kind of stood out today that deserves the hot bowl of porridge?
You know, I mean, I guess I could probably do this for the mid there, but Jalen Johnson, he's just so sticky in coverage. You know, I'm watching him today in the one-on-ones, and he's right there. And you know, he's going against some pretty good receivers over there on the other side of things. So he looked sticky in coverage in the one-on-ones. He was there in the team stuff as well. And then his comment, you know, today in the post-practice presser, when they asked him about his thoughts about being left off the NFL's top 100, he said it was BS. You know, I mean, you hear some guys that when they get paid and they're like, oh, they're content. I never got that vibe from Jalen Johnson. You know, he's always striving to be better. And now he's got a chip on his shoulder, right? Because, you know, he was left off this list. And yeah, it's a stupid list. I mean, the players don't take it seriously, you know, but when you're snubbed, it becomes a bigger deal because now that pisses you off. And he did seem genuinely pissed off that he was left off the list. So yeah, I'm going to go Jalen for hot.
You know, I saw Mitchell Schwartz, former right tackle for the Chiefs, and you know he played for the Browns early in his career. But he tweeted out that, look, this list isn't very serious. The players don't take it seriously. Oh, yeah. They're given a blank sheet of paper with 20 rows, like you can fill in 20 names. There's no prompting, And there, he says there are helmets around the border to remind you of what the teams are, which I found hilarious. You know, hilarious for people like you and me who could, you know, list all the teams. But yeah, some of these NFL players, they're focused on their job, right? They don't necessarily have the Rolodex of players. And, you know, they're voting for their college buddies, their friends, they're voting for their teammates, right? So it's hard to take that list seriously when you know how it's voted on. And then when you kind of look at it and you say, oh yeah, sure, the top 100 players, there's six offensive linemen. Cool. Yeah, that's a real thing. I mean, the NFL doesn't really do themselves any favors by doing that. Like, they could probably poll the players in a little bit better fashion to actually get some better opinions. But I tweeted out that all offensive linemen should make a pact that they fill out their sheet, all 20. They fill in all 20, because he's Mitchell said a lot of guys don't do it. A lot of guys will only fill in like five, or that, you know, they'll fill in just their friends. They don't really take it like seriously. But all offensive linemen should fill out every sheet, fill out all 20 spots, and only put offensive linemen, and see if we can get more offensive linemen into the list. But that doesn't solve the Jalen Johnson problem. But no, it's just not a, there's no QAQC with this sort of thing. It's just, a lot of it's just highlights and whatever. So but if Jalen Johnson wants to use that for motivation, fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, there's always these athletes, right? I mean, Michael Jordan is famous for it. He found reasons to motivate himself. Patrick Mahomes has kind of done this kind of same thing, and he's one of the greatest, obviously, of all time, you know, in the current NFL. So yeah, let Jalen Johnson get pissed off and let him use this as a motivation, because he's already pretty damn good football player.
All right, flip it around. Cold bowl porridge. Who, anybody stick out to you? Or you're like, oh, buddy.
I got to go back to the interior offensive line. And part of it is the injuries. That group as a whole has me concerned. Tackle, maybe, because Darnell Wright was missing out there today. So just, I guess I'll go the whole O-line.
Okay.
Let's just blank it all, because, I mean, yeah, it's definitely something that Bears fans now are like, we have reason to be concerned. I mean, it was already one of the question marks, because you're hoping Nate Davis bounced back. You're hoping Tevin Jenkins stay healthy. You're hoping Braxton Jones would come back from his injury last year and take it a step. You know, there's a lot of ifs that we needed to have happen on this O-line. And now there's a bunch of guys hurt. So, I mean, is Matt Pryor, is he going to be a big part of this team? I mean, there are some fans probably, who the hell is Matt Pryor? Well, he's starting at right tackle today. I mean, that's who Matt Pryor is. And there's other, Jerome Carvin.
Is I don't he a know big that part name. Of this. I know Matt Pryor. I do not know that other name.
Yeah. You know, I knew of him. I had no idea he was a center. I thought he was a guard guy, you know, so I'm sure I may have noticed something at some point, but just off the top of my head, when I saw him starting a center, I'm like, yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, I mean, giving the entire offensive line the cold bowl porridge, the only thing that I will pull back on is that we are a month away.
Well, yeah,
there's still time. Plenty, you know, time. We don't need to freak out yet. We don't need to, you know, make any sort of panicked moves or anything like that. So this was always, you know, the question. There's, you know, a thin offensive line. You kind of worried about what would happen if any of the starters went down. And it looks really bad when there's three starters that aren't out there.
Yeah.
That's
what Brian Allen was just cut today by the Browns. So immediately I saw people on social media, oh, the Bears should go after him. Well, he was put on IR and then he was cut. He's played like 10 games the last 2 years because of injuries. I'm not sure he's going to help out the Bears very much. So, I mean, at this point, there's no one out there really. I mean, there's some talk of Williams, right? But yeah, this is who you got, Ryan Poles. This is who you brought in for your O-line. And again, you know, fingers crossed, hope they work out.
Right. I mean, it's gotta be, Carter's gotta step up and, you know, be the guy why they protected him over the last couple of years. So it's gotta be, you know, if those opportunities do come up, I'm not saying that you're not going to see the starting line as it was envisioned, you know, a few months ago, being out there in the first week of the season. I think we all hope that there's plenty of time for those guys to come back. I don't know that we've heard anything that would prevent anybody from missing any actual games yet. They're just trying to get through camp. Like, and that's part of it. Part of it's just getting up to shape and getting up to speed and, you know, getting your body back up into that condition, which in my opinion is a little harder for big guys.
Yeah.
Last one, just right. Anything stick out to you?
I think at this point, the way Jermaine Dexter has played their entire the off season, I expect him to flash, and that's what he did. He flashed again today. He had some good penetration. The one thing that stood out to me most is, you know, when you always hear you run to the ball, right? Defense, you know, this type of defense are all, you know, all 11 got to get to the ball. There were several times when the play was down the sideline away from Dexter. And there you see his gigantic frame sprinting to get himself to the ball. And he's noticeable because he's, you know, 6'6", you know, 312, whatever it is. He's a big dude sprinting and he looks athletic, right? Like a lot of big guys, you see him, they're laboring or they're lumbering, right? Dexter's moving, right? So I think at this point, the way he's kind of stepped up his game, he had a huge offseason. He worked out with the DNs. We heard about that. I expect him to look good, and today he looked good.
Yeah, I remember when that came out, and there were people that were like, see, this is just desperate. Now you're moving a tackle over to edge, and they like went, and it's like, no.
Yeah.
He's a defensive tackle. They have different standards that they have to reach in their conditioning test. He tested with the defensive ends, the edge players, because that standard's a little higher. That's a little harder to achieve. And he felt confident enough in his physical condition to be able to reach that. That's a good thing. You want that to happen. Like you want those guys to be doing those things. So anyway, it's just, that was a funny moment where a few people didn't really get the message of what was being said there. So, okay. Well, I love hearing good things about Dexter because he is an incredibly pivotal piece to that defense this year. It's a lot is riding on his development. So that's good to hear. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side of this, Lester's going to ask me how my weekend was. Stick with us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Lester, we're back. I'm back.
You're back from Canton, Ohio. You were down at the Hall of Fame game, the rain-shortened Hall of Fame game, and you were at the weekend festivities there. So, I mean, this is your first time, obviously. It was not your first time in Canton, but it was your first time there as a credentialed member of the media, able to kind of do all the fun stuff there. And was the game nice? Was it a nice experience going to the game there?
So I will say, like, starting off, thank you to the Hall of Fame staff and the volunteers. And it's like a whole community that comes together. This really is a small town. And, you know, I'm sure that people who listen to this show know why it's in Canton, but that's where the NFL started. There was a bunch of team owners of different football clubs from across, you know, mostly the Midwest that, you know, came together in an automobile sales floor in Canton, Ohio, agreed to form the NFL. George Halas was one of those people. And so years later, they started the Hall of Fame in Canton. They raised the community raised money, and they're kind of all in. Canton's called the Hall of Fame City. Like, that's their town slogan or motto or whatever. They have a couple of other Hall of Fame type museums in the town. It's not just the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but obviously that's the main event. And so you do see the community really embrace this. It's part of their identity. There's a lot of volunteers. You can't pull something like that off with just the paid staff that are there. There's a lot of volunteers. And so being a credentialed media member was really cool experience. I'll never take that for granted. You know, I'm not credentialed very often. I was credentialed at the draft and last year's draft and a couple other events, you know, the Senior Bowl, things like that. So it is really fun. It was my first time in the press box. So that was an interesting observation deck. I mean, I think it would be a little bit more fun in a full NFL stadium to be in something like that. But it was pretty cool to walk in and have all the beat writers, you know, to my left and to my right. You know, Biggs was a couple chairs down. Weeder was a couple chairs down. I was sitting next to Mark Potash, and you know, our friend Nick Moriano was about six chairs down. Herb Howard was there. You know, there's a lot of names that we get information from, we get to talk to from time to time. And so it was cool to be there. And then I got to meet Jack Silverstein for the first time in person. We've been writing together for almost a decade. So it was great to meet him. And then when I got there to the stadium, I wanted to see if I could walk on the field with the players that were warming up. The security guard said that was fine. So I walked on the field. Well, I asked, and hey, is all right if I walk around? Yeah. And then he goes, hey, don't walk on the field. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go shag punts.
Yeah.
But walked around.
Throw the ball around a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny. So I walked around. It was very hot, incredibly hot and humid. And so I wanted out of the sun. So I walked to the other side, and that's where the Bears were warming up. A lot of kicking stuff, you know, and then there were a lot of the, you know, low, bottom of the roster players were trying to catch some passes in the corner of the end zone. That was kind of fun. Took some pictures of that. And then I saw Caleb and Rome walk out. And then a little while later, a couple minutes later, DJ Keenan walked out. And I was like, are they going to warm up? You know, are they going to just throw some passes? And that's exactly what they did. They were chatting for a while, and then they went through kind of a warm-up period. You know, there's just kind of chaos. You know, if everybody's shown up early for an NFL game, you see the warmups. There's just a lot of the specialists are out there kind of punting and kicking. So there's balls flying everywhere. And then you'll see different guys going through different warmups, different, you know, offensive line unit will go through some warmups and this and that. And so it's always just kind of chaotic. So I was trying to zero in on those guys with, you know, the kicking balls flying all over. And I just felt like that was something special. Like they clearly, you know, they weren't going to play, but it was the moment that I think I'm probably going to carry the longest with me. You know, hopefully this is the start of something significant and big. And
that's the key.
Kind of look back. Right. I mean, if it doesn't, then like, I'm sure it'll fade away. But it felt like they have formed a real bond. Like there's something real there between those four guys. And I think there's going to be like a really fun competition between those three receivers. I think they really like each other. They all have that kind of mentality of like, great teammate, and I can see them lifting each other up, and you can see Caleb's leadership, and you can see him coming together with these guys, and again, just something simple like going through a warm-up and just throwing some passes, some routes, was just really neat to see. And I just got this like nice moment to reflect on what could be with those four guys. So that was really nice to have. And then the Hall of Fame game is interesting because you get fans of all teams. The number of random jerseys that you see. And I think there's a little bit of competition, maybe particularly with younger guys. Maybe some people can fill me in if this is like a real thing with the generation that's like in their 20s. But the randomness of jerseys that you find, I think that they go hunt for these things. Because there was a Randy Moss Titans jersey. And I took a picture of it. Randy Moss Titans jersey right behind a Matt Forte Jets jersey. You know, and there's just these like random little sightings that you'll find. You'll see old school jerseys, particularly of guys that are like in the Hall of Fame. So, you'll see like a Dan Fouts jersey, right? And just kind of this randomness, like, you know, guy coming to Hall of Fame and he's wearing a Hall of Famer jersey. And that's just that. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of a fun mix of people. No one's taking the game too seriously because it's the first preseason game and no one necessarily cares. And I wrote in my column that I published on Friday, like, no one felt cheated about the quarter plus of football that they didn't get to see that was canceled. It's the only game I think that you could ever say like, no one probably is going to remember that it only lasted about three quarters.
I mean, the only guy I probably feel gypped, Trey Austin Reed, right? Because he's probably looking forward to getting some reps there. And he played, I think, two snaps and they called it. So, but yeah, that was, you know, it's interesting. When you send that tweet out with that Moss jersey, I forgot he even played for the Titans. It's like, what is this? Like, you know, he found it at like Target on like the clearance rack. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is the one I want.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of eBay purchases or something that I think there's got to be some kind of thing that happens with people are trying to outdo each other with the random jerseys of
well, I think if you're gonna get a jersey, I mean, like I'm not a jersey guy, right? But
yeah,
like if I were, I would always get like old school. I always get like I get like a Kreutz or something from like yesteryear, a Sweetness. I get something from way back in the day. But yeah, I think that might be a like thing. Like, yeah, get like the most random, you know, Josh Bellamy Bears jersey or something strange.
I'd be willing to bet that guy wasn't a Titans fan.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was just this, like, I'm going to get the most rant. Like, I like this player, or maybe you don't, maybe that's not even it. You're just trying to get something that's like so random. Like, oh, that guy played for that. That's such a weird thing. You know, that's where I thought that was going, but it's a fun experience. Overall, I think this is kind of catnip for me is just observing NFL fans interact with each other in like a low stakes environment. Like you see videos of fan base, like fans that probably are hopped up and, you know, on adrenaline and too much emotion and probably too much booze, and they get in fights. Like you always see people posting these fights and stuff. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I like the good natured, you know, the back and forth and the, like, everybody's like, we love football. You like this team that wears, you know, orange, and I like this team that wears blue, and like, it's fine. We can kind of coexist. I like that interaction. That's a lot of fun. And you got a lot of that at the Hall of Fame. It's all good vibes.
I mean, it seems that way. I mean, it's basically a celebration of football. I mean, that's the whole point of a Hall of Fame game. You know, that's why they picked the Bears and the Titans. Cause obviously the Bears have three guys going in, the Titans had their first ever guy going in. So it's a celebration of the sport we all love.
Yeah. 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 Texans.
Did I say Titans?
You did. I did
an article the other day and I kept writing Titans. I did it so much. I actually published it with Titans.
It's 'cause you know why? You are laser focused on week one.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I wouldn't even apologize. That's just you being focused. That's all that is. Nice. I did want to talk about, so the next day on Friday, I went to a press conference with the Hall of Famers, which was very uncomfortable. I am not used to being in reporter scrums, and I'm certainly not used to video cameras blocking me out of the reporter scrum. Like, it was like, oh, okay, I really can't get in here. But I was in the scrum. I got to, you know, hear some of the questions to Devin and Andre Johnson and Misty McMichael. They were the first clutch of people that were there. And I wanted to mention that what I found interesting about one of the answers that Devin gave was that he felt frustrated and disappointed in his career when he looks back, because he felt like, although he left a lot on the field and he can feel good about his accomplishments, he thinks that there's just a ton that he was not able to show, and that he played basically athlete growing up, like, you know, from the first time he played Pop Warner through high school and college, he would play everywhere. And like in Miami, he would play offense, he'd play defense, he'd play special teams. And so the fact that he was drafted as a corner and to come in and return, like, he was fine with that, but he felt like he should be playing all over. And then when they made him primarily offense, he felt like there was maybe some missed opportunity to play defense. And then I think he felt like he maybe didn't get the opportunities that a more clever offensive system may have given him throughout the time. And so, I mean, this is very much me paraphrasing a little bit early, but that he said frustrated and, you know, left a lot of out there, and that he was blessed that he was so, you know, physically talented to be able to make enough special plays you know, in his career with what he was given. But I, you know, we talked about that on the special series that we're doing with the Bronze Bears, where, you know, did the Bears play Devin's career correctly? Did they mismanage him at all? And I think, given that answer, I think Devin feels like the Bears probably mismanaged his career quite a bit. And I thought that was a very revealing answer that I hadn't heard him say anywhere when I've been doing some research. So that was one thing that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like you said, we did talk about that. I mean, they paid him all that money, right? The Bears did. So you're wide receiver one now, because that's what your paycheck says. And that just wasn't the right move for him. I mean, keep him as a returner, bring him in with a couple packages here and there. He's your slot guy. He's your running back on occasion. You know, there were other things you could have done where he would have been just as impactful on offense, you know, if you just kind of sprinkle him in. Because look, when Devin Hester's on the field, the opposing defense is they have to find him. You don't know what's going to happen. And the Bears treated him just like he was a guy. You know what I mean? Like, right. Like Devin Hester coming to your offense, that should be in a special moment. And I think if they would have treated him like that with a few packages here and there, this is the Devin Hester package, you know, giving the ball out of the backfield. You know, you talked about the old joke was just snapping the ball and let him do his thing. You know, defenses are scared of that speed, that elusiveness. You know, he was an artist with the ball. So yeah, that's neat. It's a neat story right there.
And then I wanted to mention Steve McMichael's wife, Misty, was there in that press conference. And, you know, she answered some questions and she talked about how she got some help from another player who has the same ailments, wife, who was able to keep him going and alive for a really long period of time, and how when they got the diagnosis for Steve, it was like 3 to 5 years and they're already in year 7. And so she's kind of talking through that. And, you know, she says she was very inspired to, you know, help other people. So she, you know, she could be a resource for other caretakers. And she talked about maybe wanting to get into foundation work when Steve does pass. And so I thought that was pretty powerful. I hadn't really heard her talk about that. I haven't heard a lot of quotes from her. And then after they kind of cut the presser, and little inside story here, all of the Chicago beat writers kind of followed those individuals up into a different floor. And so Jack and I kind of followed the beat writers, because we thought maybe there's something going on here. We don't know, you know, just go until you're told no, I guess. Yeah. And I overheard Colleen Kane talk to Misty after she did a little stand-up interview. And during that exchange, Misty said, when Steve lost his voice, I found mine. And I thought that was a really nice way to put that. And so she's been gaining her confidence and talking more. And I just think it's such an interesting it's tragic, obviously. Yeah, it's a terrible ailment. Steve McMichael is such a powerful voice and so entertaining, and you know, the gravel in his voice, and you know, maybe you can hear it if you've done enough, if you've been around Chicago Bears long enough, like you can just hear it in your head. And he can't talk anymore, you know, and so someone has to talk for him. And, you know, his wife's doing a very nice job of that. And then that kind of carried through, I think, through the Dent and Singletary and Covert were all at the Friday night Gold Jacket dinner. So they were introduced and, you know, they were there and they welcomed in the new Hall of Famers. And, you know, I kind of figured Dicka wouldn't be there. I haven't heard necessarily where he's at with things, but it, you know, I get it. Like
he's getting a little old. He's up there, you know.
And then somebody related that you know, Hampton may have been sick and may not have been able to make it. And so I understand that. I don't understand where Urlacher was, but like whatever. That's not the point of the story. But those three guys that were there, they then left either that night or the next morning or whatever, and then were there with Steve when he got the bus presented to him. And there's something just incredibly moving and powerful about, you know, those guys being there for him, physically and, you know, also being his voice as well. And, it, you know, someone who was the loud vocal leader during the time when he was a player now can't be that. And those guys that maybe were a little quieter, you know, now get to step in and fill that position.
Yeah, there's I was talking with Jack earlier today, and there's like a sense of camaraderie, right, among those 80s Bears, you know, a really close-knit group. And that same thing kind of happened here with the Lovie Smith era Bears. I mean, there are a lot of guys there for his for Peppers and for Hester, and it's like, you know, it's like they're really, it is a family. I mean, and these guys are now being put into a really exclusive club. So it was kind of cool to kind of hear some of the stories from, like I said, I was talking to Jack earlier today, kind of sharing some stories of the stuff there from that, what he saw at the gold jacket ceremony. He said that was the highlight for him, was the gold jacket ceremony, seeing this, the stuff that he wasn't even aware of. Right. They're kind of,
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll admit, I thought that I might be eating dinner with these people. Like, I had no idea what was happening. It felt like a very exclusive special invite. We were observing other people eating, which is a little weird, but like, okay, yeah, whatever.
You're like up in a balcony, right? Where they had the
big we were in a balcony, and then there's like a plated dinner going on down below, and then there's like this big stage up above, and a big production like Rich Eisen was hosting, and then like all these Hall of Famers then like came out, they got introduced, and then they like sat down in this row, and there's a ton of them, right? There's just a ton of them, these Hall of Famers, and it was kind of rough. Like, they made them like walk up like four stairs and then like walk, like take a left or a right and then walk down for some of these guys are getting up there. Some of these guys are pretty beat up, you know? And so like a few of them, you're like, oh boy, like this, you know, this is an ask for them to scale those stairs. But it was really powerful, and got to see a lot of Hall of Famers in person. I mean, that's a pretty incredible thing in and of itself. And
then Jackie said there was like 80 some odd people there.
Yeah. And then they welcome, like, you know, so when they announced Devin, then he walks down and like greets all of these Hall of Famers walking up to get his jacket. And then at the end, it's Dion, who's his father figure mentor, in this game, and they embraced. I have a video. I haven't shared it. Like, I mean, people have seen a picture and they've probably seen part of the video. I need to like cut it down, or if I'm going to share it, because I have like the whole thing and Twitter doesn't let me do the whole thing. But also, it felt really powerful and really kind of magical that, you know, these guys got to share that moment together, and Dion got to presented the jacket to him. But it was interesting. I didn't know that was a thing, but I was going to mention that I get close to the event. Again, I have no idea how big this is. I didn't know Rich Eisen was going to be there. Like, I did not know what the level of effort was here. And I get there, and like, there's a little parking lot off of a Wendy's that's charging $20 to park my car. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So I hand her $20 and I'm parking my car, and I kept back in, and this guy's like kind of looking at me, you know, to open his door. And so I, you know, I'm getting out, and I'm like, oh, that's Rod Marinelli. Like, okay. So I parked next to Rod Marinelli, and then I was about to say something, because I knew he had a nice conversation with Jack earlier that day. And I was about ready to say something, and he walked right up to Lovie, who was waiting for him. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, here's Lovie and Rod, you know, but then their families. And I'm like, but it, like, flow of the walking, it just happened to be walking next to him. And it felt okay. Like, it felt natural. I turned to him and I said, hey coach, just want to say thanks for all the great memories. That was it. You know, nothing else. And he goes, great night. And I said, okay, yeah, like, I don't, sure. And then just kind of walked away. I'm not like I need to like bother you guy, but I just wanted to just kind of say hi and just, you know, give a little push there. But that was great. And then when I saw him again, he sat down about 20 feet away from Jack and I, and all of these other players like sat around him. Like, they just kind of encircled him. So he is that father figure to that group of guys. Like, they all loved him. We always knew he was a player's coach. People loved playing for him. And that kind of continues today. Like, guys seek him out. They're all sitting around him and near him. And I really wanted to ask him, but again, he's walking to this event with his wife and with his friends. But I just wanted to ask him, like, you're here for Devin. What did it feel like to see his first return touchdown against Green Bay in week one of his rookie year, where you said, like, okay, this paid off? And what did it feel like to see his last return touchdown as an opposing coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And he was playing for the Falcons. Like, you saw the bookends.
Yeah.
And you were on both sides of it. Like, you know, how did that feel when that happened? And I didn't feel like I could do that.
That would have been a good question. Cause yeah. I mean, like you said, I mean, he was there for the first, he was there for the last, and you know, so many good ones in between. And, you know, that's just like I was saying, that's just that era, man. It's like, you know, I'm sure other teams have it, and we're just close to it because we're Chicago fans, but, you know, just seeing all those guys out there in support of their teammates, and, you know, and not just Hester, you know, and McMichael, you know, the same with Julius Peppers. I mean, he was only a Bear for 4 years, but, you know, he was beloved by obviously his teammates and fans too. So just a cool football family, man. And seeing it right there with our favorite team is really cool.
Yep. So it was good. Hopefully you guys got to, if you guys weren't able to go, you felt a little bit like I was able to share some things that were interesting and valuable and some fun stories. I may have some other things to share down the road, but between the story that I wrote that published on Friday and, you know, some of these stories, and then I'll talk to Jack and do, you know, one final episode of the Bronze Bears. You know, we're, you know, about ready to wrap up the Hall of Fame coverage, but definitely an interesting event to cover and an interesting experience for me as a football fan and someone who just honestly enjoys the camaraderie of football and not necessarily the, like, you know, teams fighting, you know, the fan base is fighting. I just like people that are into football for whatever their reason is. And that's it really is the base of that, is this Hall of Fame weekend.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great weekend, a great celebration weekend. And, you know, and like you said, hopefully it's the start of something big for our beloved Bears.
That's what I hope. All right, we'll get out of here. Thank you so much. We're going to be around though. So we've got maybe
Tuesday shows, right? On Tuesday, you'll be back on Tuesday.
Yeah. Are we going to be back on Tuesday? We might have another show. Like, we've got a training camp tickets that we gave out, right? Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday is Hard Knocks, right? You're doing a Hard Knocks.
We're definitely doing Hard Knocks on Tuesday. And then do we gave out tickets?
I'll have to check the schedule. Yeah, I think we have someone going to give us a camp report.
So I think we're doing you and I are doing two shows as well. So we're talking to Luis Medina on Tuesday, and we're talking to our friend Jonathan Wood on Wednesday.
Okay.
So we're doing double duty.
And you're doing your who's doing Hard Knocks with you? Hard Knocks.
And then I'm going to be doing episode one with Dr. Mason West on Tuesday night after Hard Knocks premieres. It's going to be a live stream. I'm going to call it a Hard Knocks Life, because why not? Nice.
I like.
And it. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. So you're gonna hear from me three times this week. But you and I will be doing a doubleheader Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday. I better put it on my phone.
Yeah. Don't miss that.
I think I've already forgotten. So yeah, no, it's in there. I got it. I'm already on it.
Of course. Of course. All right. So stick with us. A lot of Bears content coming at you, and we're going to do our best to cover camp, and we're going to do our best to cover this, this Hard Knock series. You know, preseason games are coming at you, and before you know it, we're going to be in September, and we're going to be talking about real football. So
real football. Let's go.
Yep. So stick with us. Until next time, bear down.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.